I keep thinking and questioning and saying, am I sick? Am I okay? What's going on? But I think I'm just literally sleep deprived.
It's amazing what that'll do to your overall well-being.
Oh, my think brain has not been brain thinking recently. I've not been able to do a greatly number of things.
Like low energy. I don't know. We're kind of beset on all sides by viruses this time of year. So even if your immune system manages to roll with the punches, you're still feeling kind of drained.
I am Ross. Ian is at work tonight, so joining me, I sent out the invite, and I got an okay from our good friend Ananda, who's been here before, and together, once again, we're attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I just saw, pretty pictures, and one of the labels said new, and I went, hey, let's try some hazy IPAs, because I like that, suddenly. So it's strong IPAs for no good reason other than the fact that we needed something tonight to share. So I'm glad you're here, and it's good to have you back on the show. I'm trying to think of when last we saw you during one of the IPA nights, I think.
A while ago, I think it might have been the winter. Could be wrong about that. You've invited me, but when you were doing it Tuesdays, I always work Tuesdays, so I never usually lined up.
Oh, yeah, the days are kind of floating now because everyone's so busy in the household that upcoming weeks, it's not even going to stay on Wednesdays. So I'm going to have to move it back to a Tuesday and then move it all the way to a Monday in a couple weeks just to adhere to schedules and talk to the people that I want to talk to. That's the underlying current of this show. I will move podcast heaven, comma, earth, comma, death, comma, taxes in order to talk to the people that I want to talk to. There you go. There's a good band name. Heaven, Earth, Death, and Taxes.
Yeah. Well, it was this morning I was trying to figure out some electronic thing to do with my weird setup I have where I can record myself like on a loop and play it back. But it's just very cobbled together out of sort of hand-me-down gear. And then I realized that my friend who'd been staying with me must have accidentally packed my cable up with his stuff, which is a crucial part of this setup.
Oh.
And so it's been interesting trying to figure out a workaround for that.
In my adventures, occasionally trying to do electronic stuff, it's doing my traditional live stream marathon, I've often got wires and stuff going everywhere, and it's gotten a lot better, but before, it the first couple of years, it was really janky, just cables flying everywhere. And one time, long story short, I decided that I wanted to record a, you know how you do a commentary track on DVDs, you used to be able to do, you get those all the time. I wanted to record one of those of us watching this movie. So we had two, was it lapel mic? God, what kind of microphones did we have? But all of the cables, I had all of the cables, but none of the connectors. So each connector had to have another this connects from a big plug down to a small plug. And this connects over to a regular AV cord. And it was like nine connectors just for one for microphone to bass.
Oh yeah, and you know, I'm sure that does wonders for your signal to noise ratio.
That was the last thing I was worried about at the time.
Which yeah, I was like, why did I start talking about gear problems again? And then I was like, oh yeah, band names. Bear with me, their ADHD moment. We'll get there. but yeah, so I was thinking, signal to noise ratio would actually be kind of a good band name, though a little wordy. No signal is like crisper and pithier. That's another one I was thinking of. Oh, technical difficulties. Song by the Peter Gilbert band Racer X, or Paul Gilbert, who's a phenomenal guitarist.
I love technical difficulties because my obsession with band names is always, the first thing I think of is, what would it sound like, A, being introduced on the radio, and B, being introduced live, or being on a poster? Tonight, yeah. Everyone, live at 7 p.m., we have technical difficulties. And I was like, well, do we go? coming up next, everybody, technical difficulties. And like, well, I'll just go out for a smoke then.
Technical difficulties.
No one would ever be there for your show.
Like, really? It sounds fine. Or, you know, conversely, Oh, it sounded terrible, but they did say they were having technical difficulties.
But I wanted to mess with stuff like that, so I want a band name that's just, you know, coming up next, everybody, on NPR, I am on fire, this is serious, please call the police. and you go right into your first core, but I have currently been set on fire. Please call the police.
be a sound that can only be screamed aloud, like... capitalize it and follow it with several exclamation points.
Ooh. Now you're thinking.
Yeah. Your band is just like capital letter A followed by several capital H's, but you have to introduce it as
I wonder if anyone's tried that before. There's a great sketch, this British comedy duo back in the 90s, and the guy walks into a store. Or he says, oh, I think I have a reservation, or I forget what he's trying to do. The guy says, oh, yes, hang on a moment, name? And the guy says, hang on. And he goes into his coat, and he picks up this, and it's just this weighted thing. I'm using a marker. And he goes, and he just drops it on the counter. And he goes, I'm sorry? And so that's my name. And he does it, and he picks it up again and just drops it right there. And so the first, and how do you spell that? And the guy just says, well, it's as it sounds. And it's this whole sketch around the fact that his name is the sound of dropping this heavy object on the counter in front of him. And it's so dumb. I love it. You know, it's my style of humor entirely. However, speaking of my style of humor, and it's not really my style, but I have never looked forward to IPAs this much. And I saw the cans, and Two Crows gets me every time because their cans are so beautiful and so tropical and delicious looking. They're so amazing. So these seem to be, I think, both recent dews, summer, sort of, hey, what's going on in the late summer? In fact, I'll tell you what's going on. But the Two Crows, What in Tarnation New England IPA, says 6.1% alcohol by volume. Doesn't say anything on the can. Well, it says on the can, you get velvety, lush, and juicy. Three things that I've come to look for in an IPA recently. However, and I can't get their website to load, so Two Crows, check your top-level your domain providers. See if you paid your bills. And on the Instagram, though, it says, a brand new New England IPA. The latest edition of our rotating hop series is a super saturated IPA dripping with flavors of Valencia oranges, tinned peach, mango, and papaya. We absolutely loaded this beer with some Primo Mosaic, HBC 1019, Eclipse Galaxy, and Citra hops. Major tropical vibes as always. This beer is super lush and fresh tasting and perfect for enjoying the last stretch of summer. Tinned peach. That's very specific. Okay. That splashed a little. I got a little on you, but luckily you're just on the screen, so I get to wipe you down. If we were doing this in person, this would be way more inappropriate. 6.1. Yeah? Tropical. It's got that IPA hopness going on, the super... super hoppy smell, but there's more of the tropical smells coming through, I feel.
Very strong fruity smell coming through, too. The first thing it made me think of when I smelled it was, you know when you open up a bag of dried apricots? That's kind of vibe here.
Hmm. Oh. Yeah, the fruit...
Ooh, hazy color. Like, it looks like fruit juice pouring it out.
I just missed picking up the glass, and I basically just dunked my fingers in the head, which is not the worst thing that you could do, but speaking of being a little bit sleepy,
and I like to feel like character when I drink beers, so cheers. Here's to Gimli.
Well, you got the beard for it.
Right?
Is that just one summer's growth? Because I know you usually shave at the beginning of summers oftentimes to stay cool.
I didn't this summer. I let it go this summer, but right. I did like trim it periodically when it gets real, you know, more Radagast to less Gandalf. I was trying to think when the last time I actually had it, like, you know, crop close to my face was.
Got
to
be two summers.
It's got to be at least 2 years. Yeah.
I had the thought. I don't know why, because I recently, well, not recently, maybe like a week or two ago, I trimmed mine, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, what if this is the winter? This is the winter that I'll just say, nah, let's just let it go, go thick, go full, go long. So much like a football quarterback, my beard's gonna go long.
I highly recommend the always with you scarf, especially this time of year. I will say,
When the wind picks up, yeah.
jackets. That's not always a fun
Oh, I
experience. You
hate.
kind of got one of these.
It's caught at least once that I am aware. Even when it's this short, I'm always like, okay, careful, keep the beard away from the zipper. This has got to make sure that I'm not, because I don't like that. Even just the thought of it.
Also, being a smoker, if I don't kind of trim, the profile a little bit, the lighter does it for me.
I've tried to let the, because I want to have the big wispy mustache, but I've tried to let it grow, and every time it grows, it goes directly into my mouth and into my teeth, and it ruins everything.
Yeah, don't care for it, right? I will say, like, fortunately, mine sort of seems to do that. Asterisk character thing where it kind of falls aside at a certain point,
Why?
but I still, get
The
in there with
little ones get down there, yeah, and then it's like, oh, it's floss getting in your teeth.
it.
Regardless, you're already gotten into yours, so cheers.
Oh, yes, sorry. Cheers. I thought you had as well. Just getting right to it.
Oh my God,
Not too shabby.
that is. Why
You
do I
know what?
like IPAs now? It's such a frightening, weird thought, but.
I think they've been, refining the craft here in Nova Scotia considerably as well. Like, I haven't had a bad Nova Scotian beer in a very long time. I've had some that were, not very interesting or kind of forgettable, mostly been very drinkable.
Well, the palate is so wide. The diversity is there. So I always say, if I don't like it, chances are someone else will.
It's maybe just not catered to your specific taste.
And that's what I assume. But I've started wandering over into things that I categories that I used to dislike or just weren't palatable to me. And it was an IPA that would just burn the back of your throat.
You remember which one it was, or do you
Oh.
not want political reasons?
It was just some of the early ones, and especially some of the early ones on the early nights, like the Boxing Rock IPA. It was just, there was a burn to it. And these were ones that were just called Here Is IPA, and I feel like that's just your flagship.
They were definitely a lot more bitterness forward back then. And that might be either like they figured out which varieties of hops to use to avoid that better, or it may be that I don't know how much the local breweries are using local hops, but I know that like there are some places in the province growing hops now.
This is, I'm not even getting this to the back of my throat. Like it's very up front. So the velvety and the citrus taste is all up here, where that bitterness would usually hit you at the back of the throat. It's not even getting there. So
All the aromatics. It's like, and when you like when you're inhaling as you drink, you get a lot of it sort of like nasally, but it's not really like the finish is not dirty at all. Like
No.
it doesn't around. It makes me want more, honestly, because
I will go back and get more cans of this. This is delicious.
this is very good. Great job, guys.
That's outstanding. 'Cause, and we definitely do not like a lot of Two Crows. Two Crows gives us the burn fairly often.
Haven't had too many of their beers, but this is definitely their favorite, like my favorite of theirs that I've had so far, I would say.
This
And I'm not
reminds.
all, like I have a couple that I really like, but it's not my go-to generally. I'm more of like a browns and reds and that sort of heavier, creamier, maltier, thicker thing, but
I'm wondering if that's why I lead towards these velvety, juicy, very much thicker, creamier IPAs. I've found occasionally the milkshake IPA, I'm like, get it in. So we're a maltier palate for me.
Bodied thing too, like, because the problem I have with a lot of lagers and ales is that they feel very thin and watery to me.
Yeah.
You know, I usually don't go as far as like a stout, or a porter, but I do like that thicker, heavier feel in a beer. Like more oaty and malty and less wheaty and hoppy, I guess.
Yeah. Well, boy, from previous weeks, I've got some suggestions for you then.
Nice. Yeah, it's getting to be that season where I will crack a pint or two of stout or porter and quite enjoy it. But it's not a summer beer for me, you know?
Oh, we don't care. We go right through the summer with those.
Hey, it's like, no thanks.
That is incredibly good and really easy to drink. And it's 6.1, so it's very dangerous to get down there. Because I would have this and say, it is... Pardon?
Like, I could have a six-pack of these. I like the Vickers Cross, but I usually wouldn't have more than a tall boy or two in a session, you know?
Where it's got that bitterness to warn you off, to say this is burning a little bit. You got to slow down a bit. This reminds me a bit of the first time I had the Propeller Galaxy and said, whoa, wait a minute. This is, you know, really, it can be really good and really flavorful and really smooth. But even the Galaxy still got a bit more burn than this does. So this is like a smooth Galaxy.
My hand hovered over the Galaxy. That's still one of my favorite. Like, I quite like the DIPA from Propeller as well, but the Galaxy is just phenomenal. That's one of my favorite beers.
I think it is still technically a double IPA.
Yeah, but they came out with the Galaxy, and then they came out with a stronger one than that.
Yeah. I think they've got a few.
But that's another one of those ones where, like, I would have a couple, but then I'd be looking for something else.
Yeah, I could drink these all night.
Yeah, except you couldn't, because then you'd be plastered by like 10 p.m. But
but this is where the solution, and hanging out with musicians doing live music, the solution has always been just stay up until 5 or 6.
Yeah. If you spread them out over 8 hours.
Exactly. You can't be hungover in the morning if you don't bother going to sleep.
That theory worked in my 20s. Mm. Not so later 30s, I'm finding.
I haven't tried combining. I still do the odd all-nighter for IWK and fundraising and whatnot, but I don't combine the all-nighter with the full-on, you know, drunk party anymore. Not to say that the opportunity has come up, so if someone says, we're doing this, we're having a rave, and it's open bar, I'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to pay for this, but woo!
Who knows how many more of those your liver has left in it.
Exactly. You got to keep challenging it until it can't be challenged no more.
Like a muscle, right? If you exercise it, it grows strong.
Absolutely. Oh.
That's how that works, right?
There's some nice dregs at the bottom of that. So, okay, if this is this was the New England IPA, that is easily the best New England IPA I think I've ever had.
So how would you distinguish a New England IPA from a typical IPA?
I don't know. But the first time I had... So IPA was... It's bitter. It's bitter and it's hoppy. But a New England IPA says, yeah, okay, it's bitter, but what if we could smooth it out a little bit on the back end? I will actually look this up.
Sand off some of those corn.
Yeah. Leans heavily on late and dry hopping techniques to deliver a bursting, juicy, tropical hop experience. So this is where we're getting it's very...
Well, as I'm adding it earlier on, where I suppose it would be like, you know, steeping tea. The longer you leave it in, the stronger it gets. Cannons and whatnot.
So a hazy IPA is heavily dry hopped and have low bitterness.
And that's what we're getting with this next one.
So they're similar-ish. New England IPA is low bitterness, more hops used, oats, wheat for haze. Those could all be found in a more traditional IPA as well. The truly unique step comes when adding the dry hops. In traditional IPA, you wait until fermentation is over. And then just drop raw hops into your... Gross. So they don't even ferment? They're just...
Yeah, it's literally just a tea. With beer as the water and hops as the tea.
Oh my god.
Which, that's interesting. It was used as a... like a preservative, but then people came to appreciate the flavor components and, you know, bred it specifically for certain flavor attributes. But something they used to use instead locally, and it's still called ale horn, is, you know, that like purple weed that kind of runs in a vine along the ground?
Creeping Charlie,
exactly. They used to use that. Which has kind of like a an interesting sort of bergamot-like flavor that would be really interesting in a beer. I would love to find a beer that's still flavored with Creeping Charlie.
I mean, I'll start asking around. But again, it's probably comes from years and years of beer making where you're just kind of, okay, what else? Grab that weed. Chuck it in. Let's see what that makes.
Also, you know, when they didn't have hops available, they would be like, well, this looks and smells kind of similar. Let's try that.
I would try a dandelion beer in a minute.
Or actually, I think the Creeping Charlie came first and then hops came later. So, I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I just remember reading that somewhere when I was looking up possible uses of all the annoying things in my garden I seem to rip out by the ton, and yet they're still there next year.
I'm such a bad gardener. I'm always really nervous about what I rip out, because I think if I plant something, then I look at all of the weeds saying, which one are you are supposed to be here? I don't actually know.
I've done that before, too. I accidentally weed whacked a big, beautiful squash vine this year. I didn't realize it was coming from where it was coming from, and hacked the main stem right off. That was kind of a gardening fail for the summer.
Short story, all New England IPAs are hazy, but not all hazy IPAs are New England IPAs. It doesn't incredibly help me, but it helps me a little bit. So I'm glad we chose New England IPA and hazy IPA. I thought they were going to be totally different, but apparently they're pretty similar. So a New England IPA just happens to be a style of hazy IPA, but it doesn't. But the New England part of it means that I'm still working on this. Hey, New England style take a humble approach to marketing their hazy, leaving those buzzwords out of their branding. Its opaque appearance, subtle bitterness, undoubtedly characteristic. Subtle bitterness. Okay, so this one's, it's fruit forward, but so maybe it's not quite as bitter as, say, the hazy IPA. Maybe that's going to have a bit more of a backbite to it.
Are you still working on the first one?
I finished it. I was. Sometimes we leave a little tiny bit in there, but that is... Okay, New England IPA, though, that is like 9.3 for me. That was just so smooth, so easy. I love it a little bit strong like that, like a 6.1. That was just...
Yeah.
It's not often that I try one, and then I think, how late is the LC open? You know, I can go grab another one. That was delightful. Comparing, vaguely, now that I know that a hazy IPA is the same, is roughly comparable to a New England IPA, but we've got the Blursday Hazy IPA, delightful drawing. Someone caught in a study session. And it is a 6.6%. And the description begins. Toss the calendar, the to-do list, and the alarm clock. Sometimes you don't want to know what day of the week it is, and frankly, you don't really care. It's Blursday, a perfect day to find a sweet patch of green grass to plop down on, or a sandy beach to sink your toes into and crack into this tropical fruit bonanza. Pillowy soft on the palate, bursting with mango, papaya, and lychee. It's your hazy IPA dreams come true, brewed by the clever, delightful, and altogether inimitable Shauna Asaph. I gotta ask my good friend Steven about that. Because it seems that they have, like, multiple brewers at Big Spruce.
That's cool. Also a very, like, hazy color.
I gotta crack into it. I don't have a Big Spruce glass, so I went next door and got out my Breton pint glass. This one just got all over my screen, too. And myself. However, we don't have a full-on mess on our hands. Just a small one. I mean, when it says hazy, you know what you're expecting. Sometimes you get the juicy ones. How clear is the Garrison juicy?
Barely, I think. It's like, you know, sort of a dark, like a darkish ale color.
Hmm.
But you can't really see the color in this, which is...
See, that's why I get the clear glasses out.
It's worth it for having a mug that doubles as a formidable weapon.
Have you I don't know if you've played the computer game, why can't I think, now I can't even think of the name of it. It was Deep Rock Galactic.
That kind of rings a bell. Was it quite old? Like,
no, it's maybe about 5 or 6 years old now.
Maybe not then.
It you're space dwarves. And you just, you go on missions. You are miners, and you could choose one of four roles, and you have like a different digging slash attacking apparatus. And you have a couple of pistols just to defend yourself, because everywhere you land, there's these spider-ish creatures living in the caves. So basically, dwarves are now a spacefaring race, and you go launching yourself into asteroids to try to get the good stuff. And while you're mining it all up and going on missions to hook up huge things and whatnot, you're getting attacked by spiders. So it's kind of like, you know, shooting at spider aliens. But the concept being dwarves and mining and, you know, axe and this and that. And at the beginning of every mission, you get your beers. You go over to the tap room and you get your beers together and you have a big cheers, smash it down, and then get going.
What's it called again?
I'm almost positive it's Deep Rock Galactic.
Deep Rock Galactic. I'll have to check that out because that sounds right up my alley.
It is a fairly really, really good time. It is an excellent time with a group is the trick there.
Yes, I suppose so.
And I was never online at the same time as all my friends who got deeply into it. But my friend Tom, who was potentially going to be here tonight, he and I have always said that whenever you're playing a computer game and there is the option to be a dwarf, always choose dwarf.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I used to play a lot of World of Warcraft back in the day.
Yep.
And the dwarf was my most fun character. I spent the most time on a Night Elf Druid just because I took, you know, every time there was an expansion, I would take it to whatever the next max level was. And for me, it gets tedious doing that with more than one character, but I had a dwarf shop that was like, never very far behind my main druid.
I wanted to be a dwarf, but I kept joining groups, like all my online friends and guilds and raiding parties and groups like that, and they were always horde side, so I couldn't have a dwarf.
Yeah. Wait, can you be a dwarf shaman? Maybe he wasn't a shaman.
You could. When that was one of the expansions, you could finally be a dwarf shaman.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
Dwarf shaman might have come out with Northrend, Wrath of the Lich King. Let me find out. Dwarf shaman, wow.
Playing during Burning Crusade. So, like, for me, it wasn't significant that, you know, there were all these map areas that they took the opportunity to revamp, basically destroyed, because, like, Deathwing had come in and wrecked it all, right? But for me, I hadn't seen any of those landscapes before, so, I was kind of missing part of it compared to the people I was playing with. Mm. But then, yeah, played every, what was it, Mists of Pandaria was the one after that, or no, there was another one after Burning Crusade before Mists.
Yeah, that was Wrath of the Lich King was the third one. That was my favorite. That was the one I got the most into.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's telling me that the Burning Crusade, that was when Alliance got their first shaman. So a dwarf shaman was Burning Crusade. The first expansion past vanilla.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was Wrath of the Lich King. Like, we got Burning Crusade in order to play Lich King when it came out. And then after Lich King, I think it was Mists of Pandaria, but maybe... Which one did the Draenei come in?
That was Burning Crusade.
Okay.
When they started. And then Wrath of the Lich King. And no, I think there was one in between Mists of Pandaria and Wrath of the Lich King. Cataclysm. That was a bit of a meh. That's the
one I was thinking of. That was the one with Deathwing the Dragon and everything, right?
Yeah.
That's when I came in. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Mists of Pandaria and got my dragon mount and everything.
Oh.
And I think I played the next expansion after that, but at that point I kind of checked out.
I think that was the time travel. Oh my god, everybody's an orc one.
Warlords of Draenor.
That's the one.
Warlords of Draenor or something like that. Yeah. Played a
bit of that.
Yeah, I played that one. That was really good. That was probably my favorite out of all. The story. Really?
Oh, it was so boring to me because it was just, you know what? Orcs! And this guy over here, he's also an orc. There was no... because when Burning Crusade came out and we went to we went to Draenor, the old planet, and it was all broken apart. You went to places that are like, oh, this place has been completely shattered by magic, so it's not even, gravity doesn't even work here. There's islands up there that you have to get to, and there's creatures that you've never seen or never heard of. And I loved that. Even when you went to Northrend for the Wrath of the Lich King one, it's all, oh, here's some creatures that only exist up here in the north. And they did the whole thing up in the northern mountains with the Nordic gods, and it was, you know, that basically all the Norse gods, but just versions of it. So Odin and Odin, Thor, but it was Thorim and Woden, but all the different, and again, got into the dwarfish cities where dwarves were first created. And you went in there and fought all of those things. And it was partially mechanic. That was so imaginative that when we finally got one that said, you know what, you're time traveling and it's orcs. I went, really? That's all we get?
Yeah. That first time I played Horde, and I had a lot of fun playing trolls and goblins and stuff. So maybe that was why I enjoyed Warlords of Draenor as much as I did. It probably wouldn't have been as fun on the Alliance side, honestly, because it was a very Horde-centered
story. Oh, man.
How did this turn into a World of Warcraft history?
Accidentally. We talk way too much about World of Warcraft all the time for the best of things. But check out this very hazy one for the Blur's Day from Big Spruce. You're probably halfway through, so cheers.
I actually managed to wait for you this time.
Oh, go.
Ooh.
Wait. The flavor as you're drinking it is much more tropical and citrusy, but then that doesn't happen. The aftertaste is all hop, and then there's this, what is that flavor?
This is not going to sound appealing at all, but I'm getting like notes of strong blue cheese or like sweaty socks.
I was going to say mothball, so I think we're both kind of on the same page here.
First, like, inhaled it. Do you remember a few years back Garrison did a spruce beer?
Oh, no, I missed that.
And I bought as many bottles of it as I could get my hands on. I loved it. But it was very sprucey. You know, like it had a very sort of piney, coniferous taste.
Yeah.
And, like, up front, this reminds me of that.
Unlike the Two Crows, I found the Two Crows one, the smell was stronger than the flavor. Whereas this one, the smell is sort of, yeah, you know, I might taste a little strong. And then the taste is, it's filling. It's still not hitting the back of the throat, but it is, oh, that is thick, thick on the roof of my mouth.
It feels very carbonated. Like, does it seem very fizzy to you?
No more than the other, but maybe that's just because it doesn't have that velvety creaminess to it.
Yeah, like when I drink this, I'm feeling fun, more like it's kind of moving all over. Whereas the other one, the Wet Incarnation, would just kind of stay where I put it. This one is like very, I don't know, there's some kind of like really strong aromatics there that, yeah, like tastes like spruce tip or clove or something like that, like some sort of warming spice.
But there's also this really strange, I don't want to say chemical, but artificial flavor in behind it.
It's like resiny or something. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's very unique. So for the, like, I don't really get the, let me taste this again.
I need a few more mouthfuls, I feel.
I wanted another sip because I wanted to argue the lychee description. But
Okay.
like, if you were to take away the, if you were to take away the sweetness of a lychee and leave the rest of it, which I would describe as sort of like a not unpleasant kind of soapy taste almost. That what I'm getting from it. I don't know, this is a weird one. Like, it's not bad. I don't dislike it, but it's got some very unusual, unique flavor.
It's tasting to me more like the peel than the flesh of everything listed.
Yeah, like
The peel of a mango.
the peel of a lychee. Yeah, I'll be right back. I gotta grab a charger.
It's not bursting with bitterness. It's not overwhelmingly bitter, but it's just not the sweetness, which was a punch. The Two Crows one had a punch of sweetness, but this one is missing that punch that makes the secondary bitterness less of it. With less sweet up front, it's making the bitterness more pronounced. I think I said it's not more bitter than the Two Crows, it's just less sweet than the What in Tarnation.
Yeah, I would agree. Like the What in Tarnation is almost,
Oh, it's juice.
yeah, it's more into like the hazy sour. Like it doesn't, it does taste like an IPA in a way, in that it's got that sort of intensity. But it's really like flavor-wise more on the sort of hazy sour kind of flavor end, I think.
This
I
one is
think,
more like chewing on vines.
yeah, there's that like green astringency to it
Yeah, oh,
almost.
that, what a good word. Yes, 100%. Definitely don't like it as much. It's fine. It's drinkable. It's not awful, but honestly, in comparison now, I feel bad because oh, that New England IPA just tossed it out.
Feel like it was not really fair to the Bloor's Day to taste it with the Wet Incarnation. This is good, but this is great.
Yes. That and that's it. And I think if someone says, "Do you want another Blur's Day?" I would say, "Well, if there's nothing else."
Yeah.
But oh, holy cow. That the What in Tarnation. I need to check and see, are they perfect for enjoying the last stretch of summer. Available at the locations, plus in cans and on tap. Coming soon to your local NSLC. So it's at the NSLC. Go and buy 3 cans of the What in Tarnation because that is going to taste amazing. What? Here's a question. Here's a question. And I'll begin it by bitching about the weather. The fall here in Nova Scotia is we're in full leaf bloom right now, where it's beautiful, it's popping, it's gorgeous. It's not yet Halloween. And to me, the day after Halloween, starting November 1st, starts 2 full months of just the most depressing vistas.
Yeah, just the grayest imaginable sky and dead skeletal trees and like the perfect weather to write Edgar Allan Poe poems to, or you know, depressing goth music or something.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
When I break up the seasons, I've added two seasons to a Nova Scotia year. There are in fact six seasons, not four, and they're in 2 month segments. So if you start in January, February is winter.
Yeah.
That's the only proper winter. March, April, though, is an extra season that I call melt.
Yeah.
Spring hasn't begun yet, but winter's not done. And it's just winter is slowly melting away, and it's just there's this muddy juice everywhere, but the buds aren't coming up yet, and it's just called, I just call it melt.
Don't forget the coral of, like, jagged ice, solidified diesel fumes, and irresponsible... Sorry. The poop of the dogs of irresponsible dog owners, not the poop of people who are irresponsible.
I mean, potato, anyway. Potato, but yeah.
But, like, do you know what I mean? There's, like, that crusty, just, like, jagged little burps full of gravel sticking out.
Yeah.
And I like, as early as humanly possible. So, like, if you, like, wipe out into that stuff, it's real nasty.
And I have played in spring mud. I remember days in elementary school, and I remember the first thing I said, when you get a really good track going, and you're digging it out, you've chipped away to all the ice, and you've got this really great place for your dinkies to run, and then you smell your hands, and you're like, why do I smell like feces? Why does the mud, the spring mud, this pre-spring mud, why does it smell like ass?
I mean, you know, some, like, seems like a lot of people are pretty good using those, like, compostable baggies these days, but there's definitely still a lot of people who just yeet it into the nearest snowbank. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a person who does that, there is a special place to help you.
I hope so. This is, yeah, sometimes it's worth it to believe in an afterlife just to hope that certain people go to the bad one. So after spring, so you get winter, then melt, then spring. Spring is proper spring, so that's May, June. July, August, proper summer, beautiful summer. And then September, October, proper fall, autumn. We have beautiful fall autumns around here. But then you get the sixth season, which I call gray. You were right, gray. It is just gray. The trees are gray. The skies are gray. Everything's gray. It makes you feel gray. So I finally did a small amount of research. With my Scottish lineage in hand, I went searching for Scottish holidays, and there are two that excite me about the winter seasons, one of which is November 30th. November 30th is St. Andrew's Day.
Ah.
Scotland go crazy. They have parades. So St. Andrew is Scotland's St. Patrick.
I gotcha.
To Ireland. So I'm like, we're New Scotland! Why isn't that a bigger deal? I get that we want to party in March. Let's party in March, but let's also party in late November because, boys, someone needs to throw a party in late November because it is just the thick of the worst time of year around here.
You need that, like, forced cheer the most. It's, yes! Like, yeah, candles and make some pumpkin pies and shit. Because, well, in Canada, too, like, I think, in the States, they have their like, in November, too, right?
There's that, yeah.
Which, I won't get into the politics of American Thanksgiving, but, but, like, in Canada, there's really nothing in November.
Well, like, there's... we've
got October, and if you're somebody who gets real excited about Christmas, like, 2 months before, then, I mean, good for you, but, like,
that's the special part next to hell for you.
Yeah, like, in November, like, November and March, too. Like, nothing really great happens in March, usually, unless it's Easter and you're big into that and it happens to fall in March that year. But, like, those are just kind of the dead zones for anything cool happening, you know?
But you... So, that's why I appreciate the St. Patrick's Day, because it's trying to make something in the some of the worst parts of winter. So I'm like, fine, do that. But let's have another one. Let's have one in November. You know, they took spring break and they said, let's make a fall break. So more.
Yeah, well, let's have one in that dead zone between fall and winter, just as there's that no man's land between winter and spring where we get second winter sometimes.
I have even better news. There is a second Scottish holiday that we don't do enough about around here, and that is Robbie Burns Night.
Oh, really? I feel like we make a pretty big deal of that in the Valley. That was the first place I heard of it, but...
Do you know what day it is?
Is it in January?
It is! Okay, so you're validating the fact that it is almost enough of a deal around here. 25th.
25th, okay. And I mean, the deal is basically to, like, recite Burns' poetry and drink scotch, right? I mean, I can get behind that.
Yeah, I don't even care about the first part.
Part, but I don't know how traditional that is.
Yep. Enjoy Scottish traditions, celebrate the renowned poet Haggis, Neeps, Tatties, some reciting of poetry, and maybe even a warming dram.
Yeah. See, I would definitely demolish a scotch egg or two on Robbie Burns Day, especially after drinking scotch. That just feels appropriate. Haggis, not so much. I know what neeps are. That's basically turnips. But yep. What the heck are tatties? Oh, potatoes.
Did you just say what the heck are tatties?
Potatoes. Potatoes.
I grew up, I would say, what's for dinner? And my mom would say, mince and tatties.
And that means ground beef and potato?
Yeah, mince and tatties is what's for dinner.
Something.
Like deconstructed shepherd's pie, basically.
Shepherd's pie without the extra step of throwing it all in the oven, yeah.
We can't afford a casserole dish. Get out of here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You may be surprised to discover that London department store Fortnum & Mason claimed to have invented the Scotch egg. Although it is much enjoyed throughout Scotland, the Scotch egg is not actually Scottish.
That does not surprise me. But it is delicious. What I want to know is, I guess they do them in a deep fryer. Never mind, I just answered my own question.
Okay.
Because I've had Scotch eggs at the Old Triangle and another pub in Dartmouth, which, what's the Celtic pub in Dartmouth?
Celtic Corner.
Celtic Corner, yeah. They do a great Scotch egg. But they, like, the ground beef or whatever it is, the ground meat is perfectly cooked and the shell is crispy and the yolk of the egg is still, like, a little jammy. And to me, like, if the yolk of an egg is not a little jammy, like, it's overdone. I don't want it. So, like, it's just...
You're looking for a soft-boiled Scotch egg.
Like, or at medium at most. Like, it can be a little hard, but I want it to be, you know, like a spreadable on toast texture. Not that crumbly, like, I left it in the boiling pan for, like, 20 minutes bullshit.
I'm learning so much about my upbringing. In just kind of learning to cook myself, because my wife's favorite thing for a cooked breakfast, and I love to specialize a bit in a cooked breakfast. I make, you know, I can whip up a batch of pancakes from scratch, toss in the bacon and the sausage if we've got it. But she says, can I have my fried eggs runny?
Oh, hell yeah.
And I'm like, one, gross. Two, yes.
So for me, as soon as the white is cooked, it's done.
And that's how I have learned to do them.
Yeah.
I am so good at making a, what was it, sunny side up? How was that?
Yeah, over easy is when you flip them. You can still get a slightly runny yolk with over easy if you, like, immediately turn the pan off as soon as you flip them. But... Yeah, most of the people I know who like their yolks, not raw, but like still runny.
Oh, hot and runny. She wants to dip toast in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the goal. It should be.
I didn't know there was a difference between hard and soft boiled egg growing up, because everything was... I feel like everything in my life was overcooked growing up. I have come to enjoy a medium rare steak.
Yeah, Ollie thought she didn't like beef, and I understood why when, like, I saw the way her dad grills. No offense to Colin. He's a wonderful man. But he burned shit out of all of his people. Which just seems to be like a Nova Scotian boomer thing. Maybe it was because, you know, back in the day when we still had to worry more about trichinosis and whatnot, and mad cow disease. But, you know, CFIA standards are a lot more stringent now.
Was that the problem? Bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Whoo is a word I can pronounce after two strong IPAs.
Word to pronounce after two IPAs, encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. In 80s and 90s. So apparently I was around for the for the man. I remember it being new to me.
Sorry, what was that?
Are you still saying encephalopathy a bunch?
Try saying the cephalopod had encephalopathy.
The cephalopod had encephalopathy.
Well done.
I
Well done.
mumbled it. I know I got through.
Rise.
Wasn't as crisp as it should have been, but
Good diction. Excellent diction.
I try. It's good for on stage. But that was a thing when I was younger. So maybe I can't just blame my parents for overboiling and overcooking everything to the point that I hated vegetables because I thought they all tasted like chalk.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that like the first time I roasted vegetables. Well, actually, my dad was a vegetarian. So growing up, I did have like some pretty good, you know, some access to some tasty vegetables. But at the grandparents' house, yeah, everything was boiled.
Too long. Boiled and then boiled some more, and then pff, there. Oh.
Exactamundo. Well, my wife just got home and I have hardly seen her all day, so I should probably thank you for the extra.
Good. I have left you completely inebriated to greet your lovely. That kind of thing.
Well,
Hi, Ross.
crap. Hi, Holly. What are you asking? This is just. I'm at.
She's asking what you're getting me up to, and the answer is drinking ridiculously strong
Well, you
beers.
know what is a good answer to drinking all evening? A homemade Donair egg roll.
You betcha.
A what now?
Homemade Donair egg roll, apparently.
Wait. Are you telling me that that is a deep fried donair?
It is a deep fried like wonton wrapper around donair meat,
And she put cheese in it
and
too.
with cheese.
I've never had them before. It's amazing.
That sounds outstanding. Ian is finally in the chat. He's saying hello. So hello to Ian, who is probably at work, maybe on his break right now, missing out on the 6.1 IPAs that are surprisingly good, especially the one from Two Crows. But yes, you're missing the Mad Cow Disease episode, and also apparently one half of us participating get a deep fried donair. I'm gonna go upstairs and say the words deep fried donair to my wife, and you know what her response is gonna be? Hells yeah.
So what you got to do, if you don't feel like making a doner egg roll, which is delicious, is you call Richie's Pizzeria. They're probably closed by now, but
Richie's, which one? Where's that?
It's in Kentville, near Aldershot Elementary, in fact. You should tell Brittany about this. They do deep fried doner panzerotti that is too friggin' die for.
Oh no.
I also have half a
Yeah,
birthday cake.
you're welcome. Half a birthday cake. Holy shit. Okay, I gotta go.
You apparently have lots of delicious things to do. I might have some leftover popcorn and maybe half of a I don't know what I've got upstairs, but it's nowhere near that delicious.
Purpose. Well, I'm off to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer and eat cake with my wife. So you
Cool.
have a lovely evening, and thank you for the opportunity to drink tasty beer with friends.
You're welcome, and thank you for all of your insights.
My pleasure, as always.
Have an awesome night.
Two.
A big extra special thanks and shout out to Ananda for joining me tonight and trying some of these. I stand by my 9-2 for the Two Crows, and for the Blur's days, I'm sorry, it wasn't as good. So you get and you have the expected aftertaste in there. So I feel like that's an 8-3. So what's that, a 9-3 and an 8-3? Oh, the Two Crows is just so good. This is just basic. This is just what I was kind of expecting. I was hoping it would be a little smoother than that. It was a little too better. Ian's not here. Ian is back again next week. I think next week. Oh, yes. Next week's a little different. We have to go to a Tuesday because I'm doing a thing on the Wednesday. I have to go tell my wife about deep-fried donairs. And I have to remember the name of the place that you can get them from. But I should probably finish my beer. We are 7 minutes past the 9th hour. Hoping to see other friends tonight, but that's cool. Didn't see them. I hope they do try these because honestly, I think Tom went out and got some of these. I would suggest the Blursday first and ending with the Two Crows because it's just such a better flavor to end on. But we are here usually every Wednesday night. Move to Wednesdays. Next week we're going to be on Tuesday or something else, I think. I don't know how we're going to do it. Stay tuned to all of that kind of thing. And but you can find us youtube.com/@drinknsdry. I put all the things up there, and also up on the TikTok and the Instagram and the whatnot. We have the Facebook page. We're drinknsdry everywhere. We're those people. And drinknsdry, drink Nova Scotia Dry, wherever you find your podcasty whatnots. I think we're still posting places. I should ask my podcast savvy person about that. But thank you for listening, tuning in. Last sip, last gulp. The yeasty dregs at the bottom of it. That's the good stuff. The flavor crystals. And we'll see you next week. Good night.